The US President Joe Biden is expected to talk by phone with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu today, with the Middle East on edge awaiting Israel's response to Iran's missile attack last week. Mr. Netanyahu has warned Lebanon could face destruction like Gaza. He's also claimed Israel has killed, slain Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah's replacement and the replacement of his replacement. Meanwhile, Israeli troops have continued to expand their operations in the south of Lebanon, while Hezbollah has launched barrages of rockets towards the Israeli port of Haifa for the third consecutive day, injuring 12 people. From Beirut now, I'm joined by the former BBC Middle East correspondent Jim Muir. And Jim, to stay with that phone call between Netanyahu and Biden today, Bob Woodward's latest book is reporting and setting out Biden's growing frustration with Benjamin Netanyahu since the war in Gaza began. Given that, what's likely to be the tone and the substance of this call, the first we hear since August between the two men?
Absolutely, yes. It's going to be a very interesting one, and I'd love to listen into it. The tone is likely to be, should we say, frosty perhaps, or certainly tense, because the two men have had big differences, and there's no secret, there's no real love lost between them. Mr. Biden really is very mistrustful of Prime Minister Netanyahu and believes he's been misled on many occasions. So it's going to be a very difficult conversation, I think. The Israelis want to, obviously, the whole topic, of course, is what does Israel do back against Iran? Now, there are hardliners in Benjamin Netanyahu's cabinet who want to go, you know, no holds barred for Iran's nuclear facilities. Now, that is not something that the Israelis can do fully on their own. They would need American help. There are 30,000 pound bunker buster bombs that the Israelis don't have, and they don't have the B-2 bombers that you need to deliver them. So the Americans have been aware from the beginning that Mr. Netanyahu and his extreme right-wing colleagues would love to draw them into a confrontation with Iran that would basically finish off Iran's nuclear capabilities and possibly finish off the regime itself, because that's what Mr. Netanyahu was hinting very strongly in a televised address or a video address that he made to the Iranian people a few days ago, in which he said that change may be coming swifter than you can imagine. So he's holding out the prospect of a wholesale change in Iran, whereas the Americans are much more nervous about the whole thing. They don't want the nuclear facilities to be hit. They know that would be a very big operation. It would involve their involvement, which they've been aware of the attempts to draw them in all this time. They don't want to do it. And it would have huge repercussions. The Iranians have warned the Arab states of the Gulf, which all have American bases and also oil facilities, that if America gets involved, or even if its own oil facilities get hit, they will be in danger. So there's a lot riding on this and a lot of discussion about what targets. The Americans want to see things hit that are proportionate, that are not really drastic enough to evoke or to provoke an Iranian response that would be so great that Israel would have to do something even bigger and worse back.
You're in Beirut, Jim. We heard earlier from UNICEF that over 900 shelters have opened, and it is still not enough to cope with the crowds that are pouring into the city from southern Lebanon and elsewhere. Talk to us about your experience of living there at the moment.
Well, my area, West Beirut, which was actually besieged by the Israelis back in 1982, does not have a Hezbollah presence here. So it's been spared the direct bombings. But what we have had, and we can hear sometimes the big booms going on in the southern suburbs, just a few miles away, where Hezbollah is very strong. What we have seen is a flood of displaced people from the southern suburbs, and before that, from the south of the country and from the east of the country, which are Shia areas and where Hezbollah has a strong presence. So altogether, there are something like 1.2 million displaced people who've been on the road in Lebanon, a huge proportion of the population. As you're saying, nearly now 1,000 reception centers have been opened for them, but meeting their needs is massive. Many of these people had to basically leave their houses with virtually no notice and just run for their lives. So they've arrived without all the things you need, mattresses, bedding, clothing, food, all the rest of it. And winter will be here soon. Believe me, in Beirut, Beirut, when it rains, it really does rain. And I see people now camping out on the Corniche, which is the kind of the seaside promenade, camping out there. Well, when the rains come, they're going to be in, they're going to have to move because they'll just get washed away. So it's a huge challenge. The Lebanese government is doing what it can in its diminished role. And of course, NGOs and other countries are sending in aid that is coming in through the airport, which miraculously is continuing to function with the national flag carrier, MEA, Middle East Airline, the only airline flying out, sometimes through clouds of smoke.
Jim Muir in Beirut, thank you very much for joining us this morning.